This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Time to wrap up a conversation with Jonas Hofer that has covered two episodes. Don't do that very often, but I hope you'll agree it was worth it this time. He has quite the story, and he tells it pretty well. The most recent chapter, I think, is worth spending these waning minutes on. Before the break, you were telling us about coming home from World War II, and you said you never felt like a hero. But I know you felt like a hero when you came back into the Fresno Yosemite International Airport after our inaugural Central Valley Honor Flight. I saw your family there. They were right up front where I was. They were waiting for you with signs and the whole nine yards. In fact, hero is exactly what they called you. And the evidence is right there on our Hometown Heroes Facebook page. You can see the signs that they held up. There's one that says, "Great Grandpa is my hero." That's you. And another one that spells out "Dad, our hero" as an acronym, with each letter starting a word describing how they feel about you. Also, you had as your guardian on the trip the Fresno State Bulldogs director of athletics, Thomas Bay, and he shared with me what an amazing experience it was for him to be there with you and the other vets. He was thrilled to death. But I want to hear it from you. Tell us about your experience with Honor Flight and what it meant to you. What'd you get out of it?
Well, actually, when we came back, like I say, we tried to get the forget the war and all that until the last 3 months. And this trip we took to Washington, D.C., I'll never forget it. Until the last 3 months. And this trip we took to Washington, D.C., I'll never forget it. I mean, that's a highlight of my life in that. As much as all this being in the Navy and all that. And we had a wonderful trip. I had the most wonderful guide, Thomas Bay, and I couldn't have had better. And we had three good days, three wonderful days. Everything was so well planned, and I'll have to hand it to Perry and the other person that put them on. They did a very good job. It was a highlight. And there were 69 of us veterans, World War II, and we each had a guide that took care of us. About half our guys are in wheelchairs and that, because you have to be 89 years or older to be in World War II. I'm one of the youngest. I was 17 when I joined, but I'm only 89 now, so there's a few guys that were 89, but a lot of them were in their 90s and are in wheelchairs and just getting... And a lot of them are gone. From our ship, the Houston, that I was on, the last reunion I was on was 5 years ago, and there were 13 of us left then. And three of them have died since. So there's probably 9 or 10 with me, 9 or 10 left. But everybody was older than me. One person from Dinuba, Heinrichs, was 95 last week. And he was on that trip also. He's in a wheelchair and that. But that was a wonderful trip. Everybody treated us. I never spent a penny. You couldn't spend any money. You go into a place and want to get some gum or that, and they give it to you. The people were really thankful for what we had done. Like I say, I never felt like a hero until now.
And looking at the National World War II Memorial itself, seeing the quotes in the granite and every state listed there, and in the Pacific and the Atlantic, and the Wall of Gold Stars, a lot of your buddies that didn't come home. What did you get out of that particular part of your trip?
Well, I couldn't get over the wall that had all the names of the guys from Vietnam there, that whole wall. It seems like it goes on for a quarter of a mile in that there. Of how many guys really paid the price, you know. Well, World War II also, when you figure out the thousands that lost their lives for our freedom and that. And so it's no small thing. Freedom isn't if you don't take care of it and that there. It was so impressive, you just didn't want to hardly leave, you know, when you saw it and that. You saw the Vietnam and Korea, different monuments. The most beautiful place over there that really impressed me is the Library of Congress. That is beautiful. I have been in Europe and Russia and different places, and seen in Italy and that, and seen different palaces and that. I've never seen anything as grand as the Library of Congress. Really, it's just, if you're going to go to Washington, D.C., visit the Library of Congress.
Well, you did tell us how much you like to read, and they've got some great historic books in there, and you had a special lunch there thanks to your congressman. And I know it was meaningful for you to be there at the World War II Memorial and all that, but something tells me there wasn't a moment on Honor Flight that was more meaningful to you than that moment you got back on the ground in Fresno. Tell us about that and what you saw as you exited that gate and came in.
Well, when I saw all those lined up in Fresno, there were probably 30 on each side of us. The sailors, I asked them where they were from, and most of them were from Lemoore. But the others also in that there. And it was just amazing the respect they had for us. Who had done a little during the war, done what we had to do. But impressive. I couldn't believe it. And my family was there. And just was so terrific in that there. And then the greatest thing that I had got out of this was a friend, was Thomas. He did such a wonderful job with me. I was just watching out. He gave me over 100 pictures that I have of what he took. After I saw he was taking pictures, I quit. I figured he'd take them way better than I did. And he gave them to me. And then he gave me a deal that I can watch on our television also put in. It's just wonderful. It was really wonderful. Then when we got home, he invited us to a football game. We sat in his booth up there and fed us and whatnot. And then afterwards, they brought the bulldog on, put it in our laps. They have a picture of us holding their bulldog, their mascot, on our laps and that. And we're sending that picture to all of our friends and kids for Christmas.
Yeah, a great memory. And there was another moment that night. That was the night that Fresno State played Nevada. It was a sold-out crowd, and you came down from the athletic director's box at halftime. And during that halftime ceremony, when you Honor Flight veterans were introduced, 41,000 stood on their feet and gave you a standing ovation. What did that feel like?
Well, it's just something that's never happened before to us and that. And it's amazing of the people, the respect they had for us for World War II veterans. It really is amazing. And we're thankful. We're thankful we got such a country that we have so many people that are still gung-ho for freedom and democracy.
Well, I know we've talked about a lot today, and your story, I'm sure there's even more to it that we didn't discuss, but when you think back on everything that you've been through, everything that you've survived, the things that you've experienced even in the last year, what does it teach you? What have you learned from all of this? And what do you want people to know about the life that you've enjoyed?
Well, you know, when we look back, we see many points in our life, or turning points. One of my big ones was when I was in high school and broke my back. And one of the biggest mistakes I made then and what it cost me. And I like to tell my children and others in that there's sometimes very little things in your life that can really change it. That changed my life where I had to be in bed there all year and thought I'd never walk again. But it got me back to my senses, and I'm thankful for that. It really made me think again of health, myself, and my good Lord. And that, it really did. That was a turning point in my life after that. And we met so many good guys, and we still get together, some of us, for our reunions and that we were aboard ship together with. That's 70 years ago. But they're dwindling. They're getting thin out there, and I'll be gone one of these days, too.
What's your secret to living so long and being in such good shape and being such an impressive, maybe not as impressive as your Charles Atlas picture there from World War II, but what's your secret for staying in such great shape?
Well, I still go to the gym at least 4 days a week. I go on the bicycle for 6 miles, then it's the last 4 days. And then I do light arm exercise and that, because it's still a rule. Muscles, if you don't use them, you lose them. If you use them, and I want to get older and still be mobile and that there, and that's why I still go to the gym and that. And if I would advise people that the exercise is good for you and will have it where you enjoy life more, where you can still get around and that. And I think it's the constant exercise that helps.
So you ready to arm wrestle?
I am very weak. When I think of it, of how strong I was in the service and that, in the last 6 years here, I noticed on some of the weights room that it used to where I used to do here, maybe 7 years ago, I was still doing over my weight, 170 pounds on the leg presses and stuff like that, and maybe 80 pounds on the presses above your head and that. But at one time when I was in the Navy, I did 230 pounds that way. And of course, I was in good shape then and that. And everybody knew that. They called me Superman, and that was my nickname aboard ship. Because I could chin myself with either hand and do all kind of go around the bar and that there.
One-handed chin-ups, very impressive. Well, I think some people might hear this program and say they still think you're Superman. I just want to say thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us your story. Is there anything else that you think we should know?
Well, I have been very blessed. I have 6 children. I have 12 grandchildren and 14 great-grandchildren and a couple of more on the way. And so I have been blessed. I'm so thankful that we live in the United States and have all these freedoms we have. And I'm just hoping we don't lose them. And I'm afraid some of them are going if we don't do something about it.
Well, thank you for doing your part. That is Jonas Hofer, Navy veteran of World War II, survivor of the twice-torpedoed USS Houston, helping to remind us all again this time of that axiom I like to close out each edition of Hometown Heroes with, because each week we hear from someone who contributed something to its hefty price. We can't hear from the 400,000 Americans who died in World War II, but those who survive make it very clear, freedom is not free.